Let's go to our scripture reading here for today, which can be found in the Gospel of Luke chapter 10. So let's turn there. If you do not have your Bible with you, we have pew Bibles that you can look at here and read along if you care to do so. I am going to be reading Luke chapter 10, going to be reading verses 38 through 42. So if you have your place in your Bibles, let me hear you say amen. Amen. Let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning as I read these five verses from the Gospel of Luke. Luke 10, 38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed. Or indeed, only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Let's pray. Father, as we look into your scripture, once again, we know that the words that are written here on these pages will transform us, because that's what your word does. So, Father, we ask that we be transformed in some way by what your scripture and you are telling us here today. As I present this message, Lord, I hide behind the cross, and I pray that your name will be exalted above all names. I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated here this morning. As you know, we are reading through the New Testament in 2019. Right now, we are in the book of Luke, and we'll be jumping around the different books as we go through. Right now, the book of Luke, around chapter 10. And today's message I have titled, "What is Better?" Now, you notice that's not a question. It's not, "What is better?" question mark. It's, "What is better?" a statement. So let me start off by saying this, or asking this. What does it mean to be busy? To be busy. Well, the Webster defines busy, and you'll find that on the inside of your bulletin, top right-hand corner. It's where I always have the definitions. Webster defines the word busy as engaged in action, occupied, being in use, full of activity, full of distracting detail. Well, with that definition that Webster gives us, where do we draw the line differentiating our busy time with our not so busy time? What do we really classify as busy? Could I stand here right now and could I say, "I am busy? You know, don't bother me right now. I'm busy." Could I say that? Are we busy when we are sleeping? Are you busy right now sitting there in your pews? We could say many different things about the word busy and classify it. We could say that when we are doing something that we must do, that's when we are busy. So one could say this, "Well, I'm doing the laundry, I'm busy." Or, "I'm cleaning out the garage, I'm busy," because those are things that need to get done. But I believe we could easily get carried away with defining when our lives are busy and when they are not. But do we find ourselves engaged in action? Do we find ourselves busy when we really do not need to be? Could we put off what we believe must get done right here and now in lieu of doing something else that might have more value? This has more value than this, but I believe this must get done. Do we really ever just take a step back and prioritize the activities that we do in our lives? Do we take time to consider, really, what is better for our lives? Today, we're going to take a lesson and learn about two sisters who, from what we read about them here in the Gospels, they look at life two different ways. So allow me to introduce you to two ladies. One is Martha, and the other is Mary. So what do we know about these two sisters? We know they appear in three different areas of Scripture. They appear here in Luke chapter 10. They appear in John chapter 11. They appear in John chapter 12. So let's look at those three incidents, and let's see what we can learn about Martha and Mary. From these passages, if we would go back and read everything that's written about them, we know that there's at least three siblings. There's Martha, and there's Mary, and they also have a brother, and his name is Lazarus. Okay? And we know him from John chapter 11. We don't know who is the oldest of these three, but I'm going to speculate. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that I am going to believe and speculate that Martha is probably older than Mary. Okay? And I'll explain why I think that here a little bit later. We are not aware of any other people that live in this house. Do they have parents? We don't know. Do they have children? We don't know. Are there any other brothers and sisters? We don't know. But we do know this. They live in Bethany. So up here, I have a little map. Maybe we can learn a little bit of geography. So where is Bethany? Well, right here in the center of our map, we have Jerusalem. We've always heard about Jerusalem. And just 2 miles to the east of Jerusalem, we have this little town called Bethany. In between Jerusalem and Bethany is something called the Mount of Olives, the Garden of Gethsemane. That's where that would be found. And you can see these dotted lines on this map are what they call roads, roads that lead to certain places. They certainly didn't have roads back then as we do now. We have roads everywhere. They just had a few main roads going to different areas of the country. So we know where they live. They live very close to Jerusalem, just about 2 miles away. They live on a main road that goes to Jerusalem and then elsewhere. And we can see here's the Dead Sea on this side, the big Mediterranean Sea on the other side. And if we would follow the Jordan River, which is this river right there, it'll take us down to the Sea of Galilee. So that's where that goes. So now we know a little bit of the geography. So to get to know Mary and Martha, the people themselves, a little bit better, let's talk about these three incidents. Let's begin with John chapter 11, where the Lazarus incident. We all are familiar with the Lazarus. So what does that scripture tell us? We know in that scripture, and pretty much the whole chapter 11 is about Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. We know the sisters send word to Jesus that Lazarus is sick. Jesus, will you please come and heal our sick brother? But Jesus, he kind of waits. He waits around and he says, I'm waiting, I'm not going because God is going to be glorified. Well, he finally does make it to Bethany. And who is the first one to greet him there? Well, if we look at the scriptures, it's Martha. Martha is the first one. She appears to be, to me, the one in charge. She is the one in authority. She's the spokesperson for the family, and she's going to be the one that asks all the questions. And that is why I kind of speculate that she's probably older than Mary. To me, she must be in control of the situation at all times. Now, maybe I'm a little biased here because I am the fourth child in a family of five, and I had 3 older sisters. And my oldest sister, her name is Christine. Trust me, who's the boss in the family? There's no doubt it's the oldest one. It is Christine. She's in charge. If something needs to be, decisions need to be made, anything, the authoritative figure in our family is the oldest. It's my sister, Christine. So maybe that's where I get a little bit of bias that Martha's probably the oldest. Martha is also the one who speaks with Jesus at the tomb of Lazarus to remind Jesus, my brother's been dead for 4 days and he stinks, okay? That's pretty much what she says. And in this event in John chapter 11, Jesus really says nothing about the actions or the words of those two ladies, Mary or Martha. So we don't learn a little bit about them so much. We learn a little bit. So let's go to the second event, which is in the next chapter, John chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. Again, we see Mary and Martha. Now it's just a few days before Jesus is going to be crucified on a cross, and he's dining with Mary and Martha and the recently risen Lazarus. And in this passage, if we were to look at John chapter 12, what are they doing? Martha is busy serving. Lazarus is reclining at the table. And Mary is anointing the feet of Jesus with some very costly perfumes. Now, I don't know about you, but I would have loved to have been at that table asking Lazarus a few questions about his recent experience. But anyways, let's get back to the point. In this passage, Jesus gets questioned by Judas why the costly perfume was not sold and why wasn't the money Jesus given to the poor. But what does Jesus do? He commends the actions of Mary. And in the parallel passage found in Mark chapter 14, Jesus tells those present at the exact same event that what Mary has done, the anointing that she has done to Jesus, will be spoken of wherever the gospel message is going to be preached. So Mary's name is always going to be mentioned. Lazarus is reclining, Mary's anointing, and what's Martha doing? She's busy serving. And now let's return to our scripture here in Luke chapter 10. Luke 10:38 tells us that it was Martha who welcomed Jesus into her home. But what happens shortly after that? And that's going to be the gist of really this message here this morning. It says that Martha is busy with all the preparations and becomes upset that her little sister is not helping. Why isn't she helping? So let me just stop right there. Does this sound familiar? Do you ever find yourself in the situation where there is an event occurring and you believe you are the one who's doing all the work while the other people are just sitting around reclining at the table? How does that make you feel? I'm doing all the work and they're not doing anything. I guarantee there have been times when many of us have said that to some extent, either in the church kitchen, at work, at home, someplace. How does it make you feel if you are the one doing all the work? Well, that's exactly how Martha's feeling. She is the one stuck doing all the work, and Mary is just sitting there. She's wasting all this perfume on Jesus. Maybe she thought like Judas did. What's she doing? Why isn't she helping me? On the other hand, I promise you that the ones who are sitting around doing nothing, they couldn't care less. They have no feelings of guilt. As long as somebody else is doing it, let them do it. But this situation becomes a little different. Jesus is going to show Martha, and he's going to show us, that there is a time for every season. In today's text, if we were to look at all the words that are said there, we see that Mary says that she is worried and she's bothered about many things. Those are actually the words of Jesus. Martha, you're worried and you're bothered about many things. She is bothered and she is upset. And we know the answer to this because her sister Mary has left her to do all the serving. She says so in verse number 40. And then Martha tells Jesus, "Tell her to help me." She probably pointed, "Tell her to help me." Martha is not only upset that Mary isn't helping, she is also worried if she can accomplish the task all alone and all by herself because her sister's not helping. But there is a time for every season. There is a time to choose what is better. Jesus is about to bring light to a truth that Martha and us, we all need to hear. We have only one fill in the blank in our bulletins this morning, and it's this. There are times when we need to choose what is better over the event at hand. So what exactly does that mean? There was a time when life was much simpler than what it is today. There were no shopping malls. There were no restaurants on every corner. There were never any fast food places right down the street. There was no such thing as social media. There's no such thing as iPads or the internet or a thing called a personal computer. There was no such thing as soccer moms because soccer was only played in foreign countries. And Disneyland and Disney World were just dreams found on a postcard. But today, we're different today. We are bombarded by a zillion, yes, that is a word, it's a word today, a zillion different opportunities of activities, and they're all within our means. And each one has cast out its line, and it wants a piece of our time, each and every one of them. Our schedules are so full of things to do that if we don't write them down or keep them on our iPhone somewhere, we'll never remember what we are to do tomorrow, maybe not even remember what we're supposed to do this afternoon. We have, folks, we've become busy. We've become too busy. We have become engaged in action. We have become occupied, being in use, full of activity, full of distracting detail. We no longer know how to relax. We don't. Whatever happened to the front porch, pull up a chair, a glass of sweet tea, and let's just talk. Let's just relax. We have become Marthas. We have become Marthas to the extent where we do consciously choose busy over what is better. We have. And in today's busy society, we fail or even see the desire or have the desire to become like Martha's little sister, Mary, because we've all chosen to be Martha's. There is a time for every season. And on that day, back in Luke chapter 10, at that time, Mary decided to put the work aside just for a moment and do what is better. Do what is better. It was time to sit at the feet of Jesus. It was a time to learn. It was a time to grow. The work, it's going to get done. It's going to get done. It might get done later, but it will get done. Right now, going through the mind of Mary, she's thinking, I want to put aside just for this moment all my busyness because I want to spend time with my master. I am convinced of the truth of the promise of Matthew 6:33, where it says, but seek his kingdom first and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Do we really want or need to get this particular activity done? Do we first seek his kingdom and his righteousness? Can we put aside all of our busyness just for a moment in time and sit at the feet of Jesus? Have we become a society? Have we become a family? Have we become an individual where we have made events and chores and the like priorities over spending time with God? Oh, yes, we could say, oh, yeah, Lord, we are thankful. And we say we have been blessed by the hand of God for who we are and where we are and what we have. And that's good. It's good that we thank God for all those things. Who we are, where we are, and what we are and what we have. But here's the challenge, Beech Grove. So when's the last time that we have taken time out of that blessed schedule that the Lord has given us and that life of ours to just relax and sit at the feet of Jesus? Or are we just too much like Martha and have to be busy all the time? And then we get bothered and we get worried when others aren't right there doing the exact same thing we're doing. Well, maybe the other people are doing the right thing. Maybe the other people have chosen what is better, and the work will get done. Granted, I know that there are times when things must get done. I understand that. But have we taken the time to spend time with our Master? Or do we fill it with busy stuff? There is a time for every season, the Bible tells us. There is a time where we must work. But there is also a time when we must desire what is better. Consider Mary, Martha's little sister. In this case, in this time, in this situation, she chose wisely. And I hope we all do too. Let's pray.